the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
We need to fix the problem so people don't have to worry about disengaging the engine.
I believe there are very outstanding, patriotic gay people who serve in the military.
And just when we thought the confidence couldn't get any higher.
I'm not big on the word police, but I will say this. This is bleeping retarded.
Don't condescend to me.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our pitch. On this show, we take you through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. We give you an idea as to what's really going on with media, with the news, with events, and maybe with what you're thinking. Our number every night is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we also have, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. That's like just part and parcel. I mean, you can't do one without the other. You can't have the phone number, bud.
Yeah, without the website.
Without the website. You must have the phone number of the website. Phone number of the website. And the website, of course, has our PDF file right now. We're doing a site redesign where you can look at all of the affiliates that we have across the country, and you can tune into your local affiliate, and we're on so many wonderful stations and like that, man. Okay, so coming up tonight, Miley Cyrus's little sister, Noah Cyrus, has started, now dig this, the kid is eight, and of course she hasn't. There must be an adult or something behind this, but Miley Cyrus's little sister has started her own lingerie for kids line. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Joining us this evening to talk about this Noah Cyrus lingerie line. It's a very strange story. And just to give you guys the idea of where I come from with this stuff, it just bothers me. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, for instance, do I got to have an old lady on TV advertising a vibrator? Did you see that? Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, Phil, I am. Where does that come to as a surprise? I've not seen that.
There's a commercial on television right now with some ugly, wrinkled-up old bags, and they're talking about vibrators. Why? Viagra. What the hell is that about? These four impotent old creeps playing guitars, singing about, oh, hey, isn't it great, I can get an erection, and the commercial is playing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon so kids can see that, so they can be disgusted by their fathers or their grandfathers or their uncles playing banjos and happy that they finally got an erection, and now we have this.
Well, I don't know about the other two.
And I realize I jumped in and gave you sort of a big, I guess I gave you a big broadside there, but isn't this Miley Cyrus, this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie, this is an eight-year-old kid. When is this going to end, you know?
Well, Phil, that's my point. That's my point. You know, I'm a member of a teacher, or of a parent group at Corona KC Elementary School. My daughter went through elementary school there. My son went through elementary school there. And we're concerned about this. We don't think that, just like you said, I don't think kids, you know, at what point do we have to turn our kids, turn them out, you know, and put them out on the street with a sign on them. From my way of thinking, it's wrong.
All right, now you're more familiar with this than I am. We do have the story, though, from the New York Daily News, and Stephen Bozell is joining us, a concerned parent from Corona, California, about this Noah Cyrus. This is Miley Cyrus's kid sister. She has a line of lingerie. Now, here is the story. Little girls across the nation may soon be able to dress like their older sisters thanks to a trendy and edgy new fashion line being launched by Miley Cyrus's kid sister.
Hey, Phil, I was going to jump in. That's how they sell it. They call it edgy, and they call it trendy.
So the little kids are interested in it.
Yeah, so the little girls get interested in it. And let me just say...
Before you do, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Steve, I'm going to finish just reading this.
Yes, sir.
A trendy and edgy new fashion line being launched by Miley Cyrus's kid sister, Noah, and her best friend, reports CocoPerez.com. And Emily Grace Reeves, who's the eight-year-old actress who played Cindy Lou in Hannah Montana, the movie, has teamed up with nine-year-old Noah, who I guess hasn't done anything yet, and Ooh La La Couture designers to create versatile styles that can be worn. Anyway, what are these clothes, Steve? Do you know?
Yes, sir. This is a lingerie line for little girls. They have a leopard print miniskirt that is very revealing. They also have lace stockings, and they have fingerless black gloves that ensemble. That's, I guess, part of what Miley Cyrus, you know, looks like. And to me,
have you seen any of these?
Yes, sir, I have, and I've seen some of the girls, little 8-year-olds wearing them. And I got to tell you, you know, you see them wearing it, and you go, you know, look, you know, got it distracting. And so that's why I have.
Well, what do you mean distracting? I mean, you're looking at a little kid.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And if a little kid, I mean, talk about a little 8-year-old girl putting on a, you know, a leopard print mini dress, and she got on them fingerless. If you've ever seen the models that wear those fingerless black gloves, they're already, you know, they look very hot on them. And now you got a little 8-year-old girl wearing it, and she's got on a mini skirt and everything. And boy, you get kind of distracted by all of that. So.
But what do you mean distracted, Steve? I don't understand. You're not somehow stimulated by this.
No, Mr. Henry, the point I'm trying to make here is that...
Well, when you say that the little girls are wearing, which I find to be... I'm sorry, you know, and I don't give a crap if someone thinks that I'm some kind of a prude. Jesus, as I've said many times in the show, once you hit 18, once you're an adult, man, you can do anything you want, look any way you want, be anything you want, live anywhere you want, put on any kind of a headdress you want, wear any kind of makeup. But a kid is a kid, you know.
That is exactly my point. And so when you see a little girl, and she's got on fingerless black gloves, she's got on a leopard miniskirt, she's got on some of it's a little bit see-through.
What's see-through?
Well, the lace stockings are see-through. And you go, man, that's definitely something to keep you awake at night. And so you imagine when the girl...
When you say it's going to keep you awake at night, what do you mean? With a little girl?
Not in essence a little girl. Please understand this, because I don't want you to think that I'm...
Well, I know you're not, but what you're saying sounds... So tell me, when you're talking about... this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie for 8-year-old girls, what's your concern?
My concern is that it grows them up way too fast. These are little girls. They should be playing hopscotch. They should be doing all the things that you know that little girls do, you know, and playing jacks. And when you put them into a miniskirt and you put them into some kind of a lace stocking kind of thing and garter belts or whatever they're doing.
Garter belts?
I don't know, but they have this lingerie line. You're all of a sudden you've got men who are dropping their other kids off at school, taking a look at that. And, you know, they're going to stay at the curb a couple of minutes longer just to see what's going on.
But again, what you understand, what you're saying sounds as if you somehow enjoy it.
No, sir, I'm not.
When you say that the men are dropping their kids off are going to hang at the curb... A little.
Well, it's unusual, and it's any man is going to take a look, you know, want to take a look, but
not any man. If it's a little 8-year-old girl wearing it, for God's sake, the first thing you're going to think is that's a child that I'm looking at there, and she's dressed as an adult, almost as if you're looking at a JonBenet Ramsey, right?
Well, these children put on the lingerie. If you understand, a little girl puts on lingerie, or a little girl that puts on the fingerless gloves and everything, she's going to drop going out the door. You know, she wants to get looked at.
And she's a child, though.
Yes, sir, she is. Absolutely a child. And you know, they're asking for it is what I'm saying. They're not asking for it. But
whoa. When you say asking for it...
No, let me... What I'm saying is the parents are asking for it. If the child says, "I want to wear a bikini," you know, I want to get a mini skirt and have on stockings that you can look up, take a look at it. I mean, you know, they're begging. The parents are begging for it, and the kid is too. But the point that I'm
no, the kid isn't begging for anything. The kid is an 8-year-old kid. It's a kid. It's a little child. It's not responsible for anything. She's not responsible necessarily for her actions. She is a child. She is learning. The parents, yes, I'll give you that.
Absolutely, and so. I'm sitting at the curb, and I'm taking a look at it, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure you understand, man's going to linger a little bit, and I want to know whether these parents...
No, sir, I don't understand that. That's the whole point, you know.
Well, Mr. Andrew, you know at it.
No, I don't understand that, but I do agree with you that the parents that let their kid out the door in the Noah Cyrus lingerie to go to school in haven't got a clue, and I'll give you that. But no, I'm not going to linger at the curb. I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm just saying that there's two victims. There's the child, and there are the fathers that are dropping the children off. They're victimized, too.
In what sense? Because the kid's wearing lingerie?
Because they don't want to be victimized. They're already victimized looking at, like, the teenage girls or even their wives' friends dressed that way. Now they're getting victimized by having a look at an 8-year-old as they drop off a kid. And so what we're saying at the elementary school is it's got to stop, and we have to stop the victimizations.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Steve Bozell joins us from Corona, California, talking about his school, which is an elementary school, Corona KC, that may be happening in other schools, but this is very new. It is a lingerie line that has been launched by, ostensibly, she's a kid, so she didn't launch anything, but Noah Cyrus, who is Miley Cyrus's sister, she has a lingerie line in her name. This is an 8-year-old girl. Mr. Bozell says there are two victims. There is the child wearing the lingerie and the fathers who are looking at it as they're dropping their kids off. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your phone calls for our guest Steve Bozell up next. Are these kids asking to be stared at by adults? That's what Steve says. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Gerald Fisher.
Hey, Phil, I really don't know where to start.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask this racist pig you've got on there.
Hey, I'm not calling you any names. I'm not calling you a name. Are you going to start off calling me a name? Is that it? Is that how you want this to go? You want me to call you redneck? You want me to call you dumb redneck?
But I should.
Huh? I can't hear you over your CB radio, man. I can't hear you over that CB.
With the way you talk to that lady from Hawaii, I guess you're a male chauvinist pig too. And since you're such a
you sound like a dumb tobacco juice swallowing cracker. What you feel like? Feel good about that?
At least I'm not just a hillbilly that interrupts people while they're
speaking. No. You are a hillbilly. You are a hillbilly. You tell me to shut up. No white man tell me to shut up.
All right, come on.
He's back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Phil Hendry Show.
What is this picture? Phil Hendry here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. He's a father of an 8-year-old. Your daughter is 8, isn't that right, Steve? Well, I lost Steve. We'll get him back on the line here in just a second. But Mr. Bozell from Corona, California, he's got an 8-year-old daughter. Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, sir. My daughter, April Jr., is actually 12, Mr. Hendry. She's in the...
She's in the middle school now.
Yes, sir. But she did come through the... she came through the middle school. And the pictures that I just sent you are... these are purported to be of this young... either it is Noah Cyrus or some models, and you can see... the one girl is wearing like what looked like knee-high boots, and she got on a black, miniskirt. And the other little girl—well,
the other little girl, it looks like she could be in a ballet. You see little girls in ballet dresses. That's not unusual.
She's got on it's like black, and I don't know. She's got on them gloves with no fingers. That right there is going to make it. Well, you're going to stop and maybe take a look at that.
See, I'm uncomfortable with when you say I'm going to stop and take a look. I'm going to linger a while. That bothers me because it makes you sound as if you're interested.
No, sir, I'm not. No, I'm saying a natural reaction of some men, they would be revolted as they slow the car down and lean over to take a better look. But
you're making it sound as if these guys are cruising and looking at these girls for something other than. For information. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cara with Steve Bozell. Cara, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Yes, ma'am. Good, thank you.
Mr. Bozell?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say I'm not a mom. I'm a long-distance stepmom four teenage stepchildren, three are girls, and anyone that would allow their teenage or preteen child, you know, their little girl, to wear adult clothing and clothing that is used primarily for adult pleasures needs to be slapped. That, in my opinion, as a woman, I tuned in a little bit ago and I heard this and I was like, what the beep, beep, beep. You know, this was just...
Yeah, it's a Miley Cyrus deal, and her sister Noah's got a whole line of lingerie where the girls are dressed in stockings and all of this.
What the hell are their parents thinking? I mean,
I don't know, ma'am, because you see, if you're a man dropping a little kid off and you see a little girl, you're going to take a look at that and, you know, it gets your heart moving.
Whoa, that's the part that I don't like about. What do you mean it gets your heart moving?
No, I'm saying...
You're making me vomit.
I'm looking at a little girl. I don't want to see my daughter dressed like that because automatically you see a little, any woman dressed with
I don't want to even see my stepdaughter that's in
that's
the
not
Navy
a woman.
Dressed like that.
That's
oh
not
God,
a woman.
That
that's a, okay, Kara, that,
I mean,
Kara, your stepdaughter's, wait, Kara, your stepdaughter's in the Navy, she's an adult, and you're like, really weirded out by an adult woman dressing that way? It's
no.
I wouldn't even want to see my stepdaughter.
I don't like it, and it
excites me. It doesn't excite me, but
that's the part that's bothering me. It excites you?
No, I'm saying I don't want to see a little girl dressed that way.
I would find that
because
kind of lingerie in my stepdaughter,
right.
My teenage stepdaughter.
Thank you, Kara. Yeah, thank you for your call, but it's a little weird for you to be upset by an adult woman wearing that. Here is Oliver in Indianapolis. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil? Love the show.
Don't worry about it. Thank you.
I got to tell you, this gentleman
sounds
like he's trying to suppress some sort of natural feelings he has. It sounds as though he says
I'm not going to suppress natural feeling.
Would be titillated by seeing a little girl dressed like this.
No, sir. No,
okay,
sir.
Well, that's what you're saying, because you're saying, you know, you're going to slow down and lean over and check it out.
Proper reaction is horror and disgust. It's not... lingering to determine
that's
whether
exactly
that girl is
right.
actually 18 that, when she's 3 foot 2.
You know you're going to want to take... I agree with you, but you know you're going to want to take a look.
What does that mean,
want to take a look? What do you mean?
If you're looking at a woman that she's showing, she's giving you...
It's not a woman, man. You understand? It's not a. There's a woman, and then there's a kid.
No, I understand that, yeah.
You're looking at a kid, a little girl, it's somebody dolled up to look like an adult...
Right, and that will throw you because all you'll see is, you know, the skirt.
A three foot two child.
I don't know if you're
clearly not.
But...
He's clearly not a woman, regardless of what she's wearing. It's evident.
What do you mean? What do you mean he wasn't in the service?
Well, I don't know if this gentleman was ever in the service, but 3 foot 2 ain't gonna slow anybody down, you know.
What does that mean? Are you talking about children?
No, sir, I'm not. No, sir. I'm saying that in Asia, when I was in Japan. No, not kids, but women that size.
No, we're talking about kids. And you're saying that you are slowing down or lingering or leaning over and checking them out, or, boy, that distracts you. That was the first word you used. You said a girl, a little 8-year-old child dressed in lace stockings and fingerless black gloves will distract you.
I think it's normal for a man to go, you know, boy, look, check that out, you know.
Even if it's an 8-year-old kid.
I think you guys have made this about me, and it's not really about me.
All right. Anyway, I appreciate your call tonight. I think your name was Scott, right? Or is it Culver? Who am I speaking with here? Culver? Oliver, dude. Sorry, man. I can't read. I can't see. 877-876-PHIL. Tell you what, we're going to have more phone calls when we come back from the break. And I didn't mean to talk to the lady about how, you know, but it's just not unusual. We're not talking about adults wearing this.
No, we are not. That is totally normal. And certainly,
well, what happens if you see an adult wearing something like this, an adult woman?
That's you're not going to notice that because that's normal. But if I see a little 8-year-old girl, you know, if I'm driving down the road, yes, of course I'm going to slow the car down you know, put my arm on the passenger side seat and kind of look over. And
you're going to slow the car down and look over if it's a kid but not an adult.
Because you're used to seeing it.
All right, Stephen Bozell is with us. He says he doesn't like this Noah Cyrus line of lingerie for 8-year-old girls, but he says it's very distracting to see him dressed that way. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You're misunderstanding everything I'm saying.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The story here, Steve, I'm looking at the New York Daily News, but I guess this was in something called CocoPerez.com, which I don't know. What is that, a gossip site?
Yeah, that's a gossip site. It's on MSN.
That Noah Cyrus, who is the younger daughter of Miley Cyrus, or the younger sister, I should say, of Miley Cyrus, has a lingerie line. Now, the lingerie line for 8-year-old girls is what you're talking with us about, and it's what you and I are discussing. Is it appropriate? I don't think it is, and I think you agree with me.
Yes, sir.
All right, but what I don't understand is the point of view that you're having, which is as follows. You need to understand, Mr. Henry, that when a man is dropping his kids off at school and he sees a 9-year-old girl get out of a car dressed in lingerie, he's going to linger for a while.
If you look at it, first of all, it's not about the 9-year-old girl, and you're misunderstanding me. You think that I'm attracted, you know, I want to look and, you know, I'm sure, yeah, right, I want to, you know, be all attracted to a 9-year-old girl. I'm not going to do anything like that. But the first thing you see is, you know, a high-heel shoe and a leg with lace. You're going to, if you're a normal man, you're going to say, you know, hey, you know, check out and see check who's playing shortstop or something like that. You know,
no, if I'm at an elementary school and I see a little tiny kid get out of a car.
No, but I'm just talking about the leg, just the leg.
The leg is of a 9-year-old girl.
I don't think you're being fair. All you're looking at is a lace-covered leg.
And by the way, she's not wearing high heels. She's probably wearing a sneaker.
All right, well, sneakers the same thing, but you're going to go, good morning, little schoolgirl. I'm not saying...
Good morning, little schoolgirl. I applaud that you don't want to see this stuff on kids. I just wonder your own reaction. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're distorting it to make me look like I'm some kind of guy that wants to stand on a corner and open up a raincoat and hope I forgot to wear pants. That's not at all what I'm saying here.
Well, if it isn't, sir, it's sounding like it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric in Houston, Texas. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. We're talking about Noah Cyrus. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to try to stay calm here because this guy's got me so upset, Mr. Bozell. I understand what he's saying. He's trying to say a normal man is going to see an 8-year-old in some lingerie and he's going to take a second look. You are mistaken, dude.
Correct.
Only a sick man would do that.
I'm talking about lingerie. Lingerie.
Only a sick man would take a look or his heart would pound or he would take... I don't know what you're suggesting, but, man, to suggest a normal man would look at an 8-year-old, I don't care what she's wearing.
No, sir.
You just said. You said a normal man would look at an 8-year-old...
I didn't say my heart would pound. I said that my hands might sweat a little bit.
Your hands would sweat.
No, your hands would not sweat, dude. You need help. If your hands would sweat, you need to go help. I don't understand how a man like you gets on the radio. You are sick.
No, I'm saying
and
I don't want to see children
help.
In this. I don't want to see children wearing these clothes. Well,
look,
sir,
this is the first
do you remember
time
Shirley Temple? Do you remember
Mr.
Shirley Temple?
Mr.
You tell me that you didn't,
I'm not,
tell
I'm
me
not
you
even.
Didn't, tell me you
I'm
didn't get
even.
Excited. Well, not excited when you saw Shirley Temple.
What are you talking about, Shirley Temple?
I know.
You know
who
full
is
well.
This guy? Phil, who
sir,
is this guy?
Sir,
this guy's
I don't
an
want
idiot.
People. I don't want little girls wearing that clothing. That's what
yeah,
I said.
But then you're saying.
You just said your hands would get sweaty if you saw an 8-year-old in some lingerie. I don't care if I saw a naked 8-year-old. My hands ain't going to sweat, dude. You are crazy.
Well, but you don't agree, or don't you agree with me that they shouldn't wear that?
it doesn't, well, Steve. Yes, we do agree, but the motivation that you seem to have, and that we have a motivation that is to protect these children from what to me is this predatory fashion and advertising industry. And your motivation is so that you don't get tempted.
No, sir. I never did. Look, Shirley Temple never tempted me. I just brought up Shirley Temple, and I was able to look at that.
You were able to look at what?
Steve, don't you understand that a man, if a man's hand, any man, if his hands are going to sweat when he sees an eight-year-old in lingerie, just hear me out, he's not a normal man, he's a sick man. Do you understand that?
I didn't say my hands are going to sweat. I said some guys.
Some guys are sick.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But
well,
Steve, when you said that,
man's not going to look at an 8-year old when his hands are going to sweat. I'm sorry.
Why do you think the little girl wears why do you think she wears a thong? Because she wants to attract men.
What do you mean a thong? What do you mean a thong? They're wearing thongs?
They must be wearing thongs. I mean.
Man, Phil, you need to get this guy.
All right, look, here's
what
we do.
I'm the one that's trying to get it out. I'm the one that's trying to get him to take the phones off, get it out of here.
I don't understand how. With all due respect, sir, I don't understand how somebody with your intellect gets on the radio. I'm sorry. You got me so upset
I'm actually listening to
somebody like you on the radio.
I'm opposed to it.
Mr. Bozell, you could say you're opposed to it, and then you turn around and you say, hey, yeah, I was able to resist Shirley Temple. That doesn't make me feel good, Steve. That makes me feel like maybe there's something wrong with you.
I got on your program with the best of intentions, and now you're making me look like I'm standing on a street corner.
No, you are making yourself look like that, sir. Sir, you making yourself look like that. You don't understand that if a man would look at a woman like you suggesting, that's a sick man. And you said that's a normal man.
You said a woman. I'm talking about an eight-year-old girl.
He misspoke. Look, you said that.
If I look at a woman dressed like that, it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, that's a little weird.
You said if fathers go to schools and drop their girls off, and there's some 8-year-olds in lingerie, that they're gonna take a second look. And I'm saying you crazy.
That's weird.
That's weird. That's some sick fathers that would do
all
that.
All right, Eric, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Steve, nobody's trying to gang up on you here. I'm asking you to look at your motivation.
Well, that's all you're doing, Mr. Henry. Let the record show, since I got on your program here at 7, not 7, but 10. I'm looking if I got the right time here. Yes, at 10. 10:00. You have tried to.
We brought you on at about 10:08.
All right, you're saying 10:08.
Yeah.
Okay, let me reset. 10:08.
Sir, the time that I brought you on is not important. What's important here is what you said.
I came on saying that the Noah Cyrus lingerie line was perverted, was sick and twisted and wrecked, and you come on, and the first thing you did is say, "Oh, what's the matter? Are you getting off on it and everything?"
No, I didn't say that,
sir. That was the intimation.
But you were saying to me, "Boy, you see a girl wearing an 8-year-old girl wearing lingerie. Boy, you're going to slow down. You're going to take a look.
If you're an 8-year-old boy, yeah." I didn't say anything about.
Yes, you did. You said the fathers.
I meant an 8-year-old boy who would be dropping off his. Well, I know they're not old enough to drive, but if they're in the car.
No. That's not what you said. I'm sorry, sir. I can roll the tape back if you'd like. Here is Karen on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead.
I would like to hear that tape, yes, sir.
Hey, here is Karen. Go ahead, Karen. Hi. Right.
I've been listening to this Steve guy. I've listened to his show actually a couple of times, and I think he's been on here a couple of times. Quite honestly, he sounds like a pervert, if you ask me. And as for being highly intellectual, as your last guest would imply, I don't think he's of high intelligence, because no one of high intelligence would speak like this man is speaking. And as for the kids, would he feel better if he put them in PJs instead of calling it lingerie? I don't care what an 8-year-old kid wants to wear. I agree they shouldn't be let out, maybe looking slutty. But What difference does it make? Why does that give him the right to sit here and be distracted or hangover? I think they should put him in jail. Get the kid.
Put me in jail. What about the mother that lets her child, lets her daughter walk out there like she's a $500 a half hour hooker and she's eight?
Hey,
what about
you know
that
what?
Mother? Excuse me? Any mother that would send a daughter out into the world looking like a $500 every 30-minute hooker, in my opinion, belongs in to be waterboarded. I mean, I hate to say it. Waterboarding, right?
Your opinions are worth much, quite frankly. I think you're the pervert. You're the one who's going to stand outside and be distracted by an eight-year-old. And
here is music. Yeah, I'm saying any mother that would
dress.
I bet you're the kind of woman that dresses your kid like she's going to stand on a street corner and say what it is to the first guy going by in a two-tone. Now, you can hear this music here. I bet you do. Here's music.
You know, this is getting very personal, Steve.
Well, this lady's talking. She's given. Do you hear this music, Mr. Henry?
Yeah?
This is called runway music. This is fashion show music. The children are forced to hear this while they're putting on these, you know.
Who child's being forced to listen to any music, Steve? Making it up.
You know an awful lot about this, ma'am. I'm getting a little nervous about you now. You're all, it's okay. And...
Hey, you know what? It's a free society. People should be able to walk around and look like they want without people like you staring at them.
8-year-old children, since when do they make the decision to dress like sluts? I'll tell you,
you know
what? When their mothers dress like
sluts. It's your opinion
that
they dress like a slut.
You think a little 8-year-old girl ought to wear a leotard with a no crotch and everything?
I think an 8-year-old.
Here is anyway.
That's what I think.
I got to tell you, Karen, this is Phil. I don't even know what you're talking. Are you saying that mothers that dress their daughters in lingerie, that's cool? Is that what you're saying? Because
no,
I don't even know that I like
cool.
your point of view any more than Steve. Well, what are you talking about then? Because
you tell her, Mr. Henry.
No, I don't like what you're saying either.
Oh, you're too bad.
I don't like
what Steve is saying. He's a pervert. He's a racist.
Well, I'm asking you, think it's okay for a mother to dress a little girl in stockings like this?
You know what?
An 8-year-old child?
I don't think it's appropriate. But I also don't think it's appropriate that Steve turn around and hang out the window and be distracted.
I agree. I agree with you there.
I agree with you.
Well,
the difference is a little boy runs around in his underwear with his shirt off. Am I, as a woman, going to stand out and look at him and gawk at him and get all whatever?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe.
So what's
maybe
the difference? Is it just a female?
Maybe you are.
Is that the problem?
Wait a minute. I agree with the lady here, Steve. I don't agree with you saying that you're going to linger, okay?
Well, she just said she's going to check out a kid wearing underwear. Oh, man.
What's the difference if he had a little kid out there in underwear? What, because it's a girl?
You got to check it out?
I don't go off at 8-year-old.
Oh, wow. You're going to check a kid out wearing briefs and nothing more.
No, she didn't say that. Look at Karen, I got your point. Thank you very much for clarifying for me. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. What the hell is that, bud? That's music. Will you turn that garbage off? Stephen Bozell talking to us about Noah Cyrus, the little sister of Miley Cyrus, who has had her name associated with a new line of lingerie for kids. And we're speaking with Mr. Bozell, who's come on our program, to say that he doesn't like it. He doesn't want kids dressing that way, and we agree with him. And he's gone on to say that it's distracting for men to see a little girl dressed like that. And that's a problem for us. 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls with Steve Bozell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You stuck up for that lady. And she wants to look a little boy in bun huggers.
No, she doesn't.
Well,
Phil and...
Little kid running around in bun huggers. She's checking it out.
This is the world-famous... Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and with me is Stephen Bozell. I'm listening to music here. What is this? Steve?
Oh, yeah, Phil. This is another example of what we were talking about. This is music from a fashion show music. The children are basically told to listen to it.
And what I've done is I've downloaded pictures of the Miley Cyrus lingerie onto my computer because my daughter wanted to see what it looked like. I've probably got about 70 or 80 pictures of it. And I now want to delete them because I feel uncomfortable having that much of, you know, in one place, or not one place, but having all that on my computer.
And you're uncomfortable having the Miley Cyrus lingerie. Now, technically, it's not porn because it's being... will you please turn that music off?
But that's the fashion show music.
I don't want to hear fashion show music, okay?
But that, again, that's the music the children are forced... Not forced, but they want. They are told when you put on a pair of underwear or whatever you're going to wear and then go down the runway. And I've downloaded music. I've probably got 30 or 40 cuts of this music.
That's fine. Thank you very much. We're just talking about the pictures. You've got Miley Cyrus, you've got Noah Cyrus pictures, and it's of lingerie, and it's appeared in advertisements, and it's part of a reputable company's ad campaign. So it's not porn. It's not child porn. We feel it is very inappropriate to dress children this way. Why were you nervous having these pictures?
I think any man would be nervous having that much. I mean, in one location, you want to spread it out.
Why? Why would I want to, quote, spread it out?
Because if you, it's not porn, and yes, you're right, but if you've got a computer...
Why would the police come in? If all you're looking at is Miley is Noah Cyrus in lingerie, which is a inappropriate use of a kid, in my opinion, nonetheless, it's not porn.
Yeah, I'm hedging my... I think any man would hedge his bets.
Hedges bet. Everything you've been saying on my show tonight, Mr. Bozell, with the exception of playing that fashion show music, and even that is a little weird, has been suspect as far as I'm concerned. Here's Carrie in Wichita, Kansas. Carrie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. I believe that the children should dress more age appropriate. And that's the only thing I'm going to agree with this guy on. I would hate to see how he would react around a water park because he's a freak. Anybody who would slow their damn car down and put their arm and however he was describing it to take a second look and to linger.
Exactly.
You need to check yourself in someplace and you need to get some help because you're messed up in the head. And I would call social services and have some counselors come out and talk to your daughter and make sure you haven't messed with her.
Hold on just for just a second here, friend, because you're making some charges here. Now,
you freak me
Well, Steve,
out. Why should I? What are you dressed up in lingerie like you're 8 years old? Oh, okay.
Well, you know what, Steve? You can be funny if you want, but what the gentleman is saying, it caused me concern. What do you mean, slow the car down?
You understand, and this man understands. You're going to slow down and lean over and take another look.
If it's an 8-year-old kid,
not.
Is what we're talking about.
You're not.
Well, no.
What? What are you talking about?
An 8-year-old kid is what we're talking about. Why would you slow the car down and check that out?
I'm not saying that I'm going to do anything. I'm saying it confuses you.
Looking is doing. Looking is thinking. You need to check yourself in and get some help.
I know. You've got a whole set of rules that you want the whole world to work. I just don't go by
exactly.
Your rules.
Exactly. I have an 8-year-old daughter. And if I saw somebody you slowing the car down and taking a second look and lingering, I'm going to do something. I'm going to freak out.
Are you going to let your daughter dress like that? Are you going to let your daughter dress like that?
I told you in the beginning, I think kids should dress age appropriate. That is the only thing I agree with you on.
Then I won't slow down.
Well, don't slow down anyway. Don't slow down anyway.
If it's an instinct, what am I supposed to do?
Then this is what the man's saying.
Then you need
a doctor.
Check yourself in.
You need a doctor.
Check myself into a... you're talking about a lunatic asylum?
Somewhere.
That takes a pair.
A lunatic asylum. We're talking about talk to a professional, Steve, if you're slowing down and checking it out.
I just got done saying, I don't think kids should wear crotchless panties or whatever.
Oh, for God's sake. Will you get to...
What?
We're talking about the Noah Cyrus line. Is that what she's selling?
I don't know, Mr. Hendry. I don't know.
Well, if she
now
is, then somebody ought to place him under arrest. Carrie, thanks for your call, and we'll take one more here from Ed. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'd just like to tell this fellow, you know, I don't think he needs to check into an asylum. I think he escaped from one. If I was behind him, he's pervert.
I didn't escape from asylum. I've got a home and I've got two kids,
man,
and I don't want to see. I don't want to see anything.
Let me tell you something, man. No. If I was behind you in line and I seen you turn around and start talking that daggum 8-year-old girl, I'd snatch you out of that car. You're a pervert.
Okay, and you're going to snatch me out for what? Because I'm saying, hey, look, that kid's dressed inappropriate.
No, you're staring at an 8-year-old girl. You're staring at an 8-year-old girl. A girl, man. You was talking about her legs and fish stockings a little while ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you were.
You're a pervert.
Okay, it's going to slow you down, isn't it?
Man, let me tell you something. I'm a normal guy.
Get you
and there's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to turn around and look at an 8-year-old girl.
I don't care. You wouldn't get on your knees for that.
Get on your knees for it.
You're sick.
You're misunderstanding everything.
I ain't misunderstand you in nothing, man. You're talking about gawking at an 8-year-old girl.
No, sir.
You're talking about staring at one. Man, I heard what you said. You sat there and repeated it.
They said there's a new girdle line for 8-year-old girls, what I was saying.
No. We're not going about that, man. What you said was
Phil Hendry.
That's what they said.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
We also should acknowledge that it's a reflection to some degree that we haven't done this
allowing
job very well.
Corporations to spend at will on elections, which is what the court has just allowed.
Speaking personally, no. I think it sends a bad PR message.
Over the past 2 years, more than 7 million Americans have lost their jobs.
Disgusting. Captain Cajones.
World-famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what in the hell it is it's talking about, and a news, talk, and entertainment show that takes you places no other talk show will take you to because they just don't know how. Through the looking glass we go of news, information, and quite frankly, you. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and of course our website is philhendryshow.com. We direct you there because you can get... our live streaming audio as well as our live streaming video each and every day, every show. So you can watch the show. Matter of fact, we're online right now doing our video as well as our audio at www.philhendryshow.com. That's www.philhendryshow.com. We also have our archives, and we have our live streaming audio and the downloads. So you can go and listen to the show the next day if you missed the show. The relief efforts in Haiti continue. And the personal tragedies coming from Haiti, the stories of personal tragedy coming from Haiti continue. Tonight we have on the line with us from Phoenix, Arizona, Mr. Don Parsley, who has not heard from a wife and a daughter since this event happened. And he is quite understandably upset. He has lost a great deal of hope as to whether or not he's going to hear from them. And we have him on our newsmaker line here this evening from Phoenix. Mr. Parsley, good evening. Welcome to our program, sir.
Thank you.
And if you could, can you hear me, sir?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you very well.
So you have not heard from your wife or your daughter since when, sir?
I haven't heard from Cassidy or my wife, Martha, since last week.
Okay. And what were they traveling to Haiti for? Can you tell me?
They were down on a student trip. My wife was accompanying my daughter to go down and look at the student situation at schools. Also, my daughter was interested in working for the United States government down there.
You know, your daughter was interested in working for the U.S. government in Haiti?
Yeah, that's correct.
And how did they get there? Did they go by way of plane?
Yeah, they flew in. They flew into Port-au-Prince on a cruise ship.
Did they fly in or did they take a cruise ship?
There was a cruise ship there that they saw some friends on, but they flew in.
And you haven't heard anything. Let me ask you something. Have you been in touch with the U.S. government?
Yeah. I've talked to the government. They don't know anything about it. I tried to talk through the U.S. embassy down there, and they don't have any record of... They're having a difficult time, I guess, because there's so many people missing, you know. And they're also trying to get help to the Haitians. I don't have a problem with that at all, and I never have. I just wish... You know, I'm an American. My wife and my daughter are Americans, and I can't find them. I wish, and I know a lot of people listening right now probably feel the same way that I do. That, you know, I don't want anything bad to happen to the Haiti people or anything like that. But shouldn't we find out about, you know, where a missing American woman and her daughter is?
Are you saying, sir, that we're spending too much time giving aid to the Haitians and not enough time finding these missing Americans?
I think so. I think we need to do that. The U.S. government's not doing anything about it, and the problem I'm having is I'm on disability.
Okay. What is your profession?
I'm an electrician, but I've been on disability. I can't work. In fact, I have a bad, you know, my legs are bad. My wife is the primary breadwinner, and I'm desperately, you know, I don't know where she is, and we don't know how to find her. And the other problem I have is, what am I going to live on? So,
now you must be very, very, very upset. Who have you talked to in terms of the government? Anybody in the government, military, U.S. government, Haitian government?
I talked to on the phone with a man from the U.S. Army. You know, the Army and the State Department and everything. I gave the name.
And your wife's name is what?
My wife's name is Mary Parsley, and my daughter is Amber.
Mary and Amber. And they're in Haiti, and you talked to the U.S. government.
Yeah, I talked to them, and they said, well, they didn't know anything about it, and I told them, I gave them a description and everything. But I said to them that with my wife missing and my daughter missing, and I have no way of making a living because of my, you know, I'm on just very limited income. And I need some assistance, too, in finding my wife and my daughter. I got to go out and do it myself. And also, what am I going to live on? So I've got to go out and do this investigative work myself.
And so you, sir, Don, you, not to interrupt you, you anticipate having to go to Haiti yourself and looking for your wife and daughter?
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Because you can't, you're not getting any help, huh?
No, and I'm going to have to go down there myself, and that's going to cost a lot of money. And I don't...
And tell me why you called our show tonight. I'm very glad that you did. I'm very glad to hear your story, and very glad to hear, glad to know that at least we can get your story out there. What is it that you are hoping tonight as you talk to me and talk to my audience?
I don't really want anything from you or your, I just want people to know. I just want them to know that that's what I got to do. I have to go down there, and I got to look for a woman and a girl, you know, 10-year-old girl who's with her mother, and I don't know if they're frightened. I don't know if they're laying under a collapsed building, or I don't know where they are. You know.
Now, can I ask you a question, sir?
Yeah.
You said your daughter was going down there to look at U.S. government jobs.
That's correct. Yeah.
That you just said she's 10.
She's 10 years old looking at her, yeah, she wants to learn about the U.S. government in Haiti. And
so, but she's 10 years old, so is she still in middle school?
Yes, sir, she's in middle school, but she wanted to go down. She's, her mother, father and me and her mother, I want to go to Haiti and see about, you know, how the American government works.
Okay, so again, what you want to tell my audience is that you have a daunting task ahead.
That is correct, yeah. And I don't want anything from you, Mr. Henry. I don't want anything from your audience. I just want people to know that this is one man's experience. And if there's one guy like me, then there must be, if there's me, then there must be another guy who is me, or I'm me, but there might be someone else who's like me going through the same thing. That I have to not only find a way to, you know, eat and live, but I also have to find enough money to go down to Haiti and look for my wife and my daughter. So it's going to be expensive, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I got no choice. And
but if you're on disability and you have no income, and your wife is the primary breadwinner, do you have savings?
No, we don't have any savings. I mean, we've got a retirement, but I can't tap into that because that.
You don't have any liquid cash?
No.
Well, so how are you going to do this?
I don't know. But I just know I'm going to. You know, and I don't, like I said, I don't want anything. You know,
I. But I mean, if you have no money, how are you going to go down to Haiti and look for a missing wife and daughter without some means of support?
I it's prayer. You know, I believe in prayer. I believe in God. I pray. And I'm open. I'm hoping that. Somehow.
If I don't know how much it's going to cost you. Our show would be happy to donate to you, you know, your plane fare to Haiti.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said, I didn't come on your program.
No, I understand that, sir, but if you are completely without resources and you need to find a way to acquire resources so you can not only live but look for a missing wife and daughter that they can't find in Haiti, we'd be happy to give you at least the airfare down there. And return airfare, God willing, for your wife and your daughter.
I think that's. I think that's a. Do you know how much that? Because I'm not familiar with the.
How much is what?
Well, do you know how much the plane fare?
To Haiti, I would imagine a round trip. Well, you get your round trip for yourself as well as a one way for your wife and daughter. I mean, I don't think it could come to more than a couple of thousand dollars, maybe $1,500, $1,000. I don't know.
Yeah. Because what I would want, I've been on disability, and I would want a, I would, not what I want, but I would need a, because of my back, I would need a business class seat. See, that's the thing about coming on your program. I didn't want to be here and talking, you know, like I.
Yeah?
Like I'm asking for money.
No, I know that. I'm offering this to you.
You are right, and I appreciate it, but I can't. It doesn't sound like you're offering.
What do you need?
I need to have, if I'm going to fly, I got to have a business class seat only because of my bad legs. And I can't fly back, you know. And if you're saying, but I really appreciate it, Mr. Henry, I do. I just can't.
Are you telling me that I can't, this is not enough for you? Or, all right, well, we can get you round trip for you and your wife and your daughter business class. Is that all right?
If you can do that.
All right, well, hold the line here. We got Don Parsley on the line. We're going to keep talking to him. The story that, as you heard it, Bud, and as Rance and Ralph heard it, his wife and daughter are missing in Haiti. And I, God knows how many other stories like this across this country we may know of or hear about. And, of course, the people suffering and missing in Haiti proper. But Mr. Parsley has not heard from his wife or his daughter. He says that he, being on disability, relies on his wife's income, so there's no money coming in, and he feels he must now take up the gauntlet, or take up the torch of going down to Haiti and looking for his wife and daughter himself. Our number is, we've just offered him round-trip airfare. I don't know whether he wants it or not. He said that he needed business class. 877-876-PHIL. A rather dramatic opening to our show tonight, I understand. But we're going to continue talking to Mr. Don Parsley, who has not heard from his wife or daughter in Haiti now for several days. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good Bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it. Holt, Mr. Parsley, you there?
Yeah.
We're on with Mr. Don Parsley here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Mr. Parsley has not heard from a wife and a daughter in Haiti before the earthquake struck there. Now, there are a number of people who are missing, both Haitian and American, the overwhelming majority being Haitian. But your situation, sir, is one that compels us because you have contacted our program this evening. Now, your wife's name is Mary, is that correct?
My wife's name is Martha, and my daughter is Mary.
Your wife's name is Martha, your daughter is Mary, because I had Mary and Amber?
No, Amber is my daughter. She's also my daughter, but she's not the one that's down in Haiti right now.
So you have two daughters, sir?
Yes, sir.
So you have a daughter to take care of. You have a child to take care of in addition to the child that is with your wife.
Yes, sir. But, I mean, I have to leave and go down to Haiti, and I got to leave my daughter with, you know, whoever. I don't know. That's the other thing. I don't know what I should do. Leave her with what? You know.
Well, do you have relatives?
Not really. I mean.
Well, what do you mean, not really?
We don't have. I mean, I do. I got a brother. But that's no good. Nobody's been in touch with him for years.
You have you got a situation. Our round trip air, if I can offer you airfare on behalf of the Phil Henry Show to get you to Haiti and to return.
Yeah, that is very generous. I didn't come on your show, sir.
No, I understand. I know that you're not a charity case, and I know that you're not here looking for charity, but we wanted to do that.
Well, I appreciate that so much, Mr. Henry. It's tough to say to you that I can't. I have to have certain accommodations, you know.
No, I know that you're disabled.
Yeah, I need to have a business class seat, and I need to have it on the aisle. And I don't know if you're prepared to do all that.
Well, we won't book the ticket for you. What we will do is provide the money.
You're going to provide me with the funds.
Yes, sir. We will provide you with whatever you need in terms of purchasing the ticket. I would imagine you'd like to book the ticket yourself, wouldn't you?
If you have anybody there that can do it, it would be easier because I don't know what airplane, I don't know which different airfare, you know, airlines go in there.
Well, I don't know that we have a staff to do that, but I'll check into it for you. Let's take a phone call, 877-876-PHIL, if any of you out there are, would like to talk to Mr. Parsley, if you have anything that perhaps can aid him.
I just want to jump in, Mr. Henry. I don't want to be a charity case to your listeners.
No, I know that, but you've told us that you're having a tough time.
But I'm just trying to say that if people are calling, I'd appreciate it if they are calling up and they want to offer something, that they're serious, and that I can't, you know, I can't have them waste my time with, like what you originally said, you know.
I'm not trying to waste your time, sir, you know.
No, but you said you were going to fly me a coach, and I said
we're not going to fly a coach, we'll fly a business class.
I understand that.
And yet the people that are calling in, I'm sure are going to have the best of intentions, and I don't think anybody's looking to waste your time. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I know that. I just, if people call up and say, I want to give you $10 or something, that's just not going to get anything done, you know. For what I need to do, I have to go down. I got to look for my wife and my daughter.
I understand that. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Steve here in Dalton, Georgia. Steve, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Parsley, Don Parsley from Phoenix, Arizona. Go ahead.
Hey, how we doing? Hey, I just hearing you.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I'm a truck driver, and most of us truck drivers out here, man. So I'm sure we can all get together, you know, help you, you know, buy your accommodations, whatever you need there, man. All of us together, I'm sure. There's a lot of us glad to help you. You're an American, man, same as we.
So, you're a great man. You're a good man to do that, sir. The accommodations, though. You recognize it's in Haiti, and it's not a very good country for that.
Oh, yeah, well.
What I was going to say to you, Steve, is the accommodations, whatever you gentlemen are, and you're very, very kind. I don't know what to say. They'd have to be at a hotel that's going to be not one of these, I guess you call it, these run-down, rat you know, that these Haiti hotels, that these rat, you know, rats live, you know, however they do it.
Well, what
yeah,
do you
I
mean?
Don't know.
What do you mean,
I wouldn't
Mr.
want to stay
Puster?
In the shed, neither.
Yeah, no kidding, you know. But if they have, like, a Four Seasons or something, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, a Four Seasons hotel in Haiti, I doubt seriously if they have one.
Or any hotel, like a Ritz-Carlton or something like that.
Well, this gentleman is calling. He's a truck driver, and he's saying that the other truckers that he is in communication with on the road at night would be willing to help you, but I don't know whether they are ready to book you into a Four Seasons.
I don't know how long I'm going to be there. If I'm down there and I'm looking for my wife and daughter, and I have to come back to a rat hole at night, Mr. Henry, I'm so depressed that I'm a suicide risk.
Yeah, if my wife and daughter is over there, I'd swim if I had to get there.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
I would.
Kidding. But once you get there, don't you want to stay in a hotel that?
Yeah, I'd stay whatever I had to do. What I'm saying,
well, you wouldn't want
drivers out here.
You don't want to stay in a rat hole, though, do you?
Well, what do you mean by you're a suicide risk?
I don't want to come back to a rat hole at night and have to risk slitting my own. God forgive me.
Slitting your what?
Slitting my own wrists.
You're not going to do that.
If these truckers put me in a.
Steve is a good man. He and his other colleagues who are truckers are offering to help you with accommodation. You're saying what?
I'm saying I appreciate it very much, but if they only put me up in some rat hole and I have to come back and take a pane of glass and cut my wrist.
Steven, why don't you do me a favor, okay? You're a very, very gracious man.
Steve, I appreciate it very much, sir.
Hold on. Steve, thank you very much. If we need you, we'll call you or we'll ask you to call us back and we'll get information from you, okay? How about that?
Hey, that'll work, man.
There is Steve. All right, brother. That's Steve out there in Dalton, Georgia. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking, that gentleman's a trucker and offered you accommodations.
No, I heard him. I already heard, Mr. Andy, you told me, and I heard him the first time. I'm just saying, if he and the other truckers put me up in a Super 8, and I come home and I look at it and I go, I turn the gas on.
There aren't any, I don't think there's Super 8. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, John Parsley.
Phil Henry.
I'll turn the gas on and I won't light a match.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With me and on the line, on our newsmaker line from Phoenix, is Mr. Don Parsley, who has not heard from his wife and his daughter in Haiti for quite some time, since before the earthquake. You haven't heard from them. You don't know where they are. You've got no assistance from the U.S. government or from the Haitian authorities or from the military. You are planning on going down there yourself, sir. Now, we just had a trucker on the line.
Yeah, if I just mention something, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
You said that you'll get me a airfare.
Yes, sir. We'll get you the airfare and the return for your wife and your daughter.
If you could give me the, I know I said I wanted you to book it, but if you could give me the money, and I can do that, it'll be easier for me.
If you want us to, fine. I mean, you had another gentleman here, this truck driver, who wanted to book you guys you accommodations while you're looking for your wife and daughter, and I don't know what we're going to work out with him. You didn't want necessarily his help?
I would need to talk to him. And again, I'm in a very uncomfortable. Not to criticize, you put me in an uncomfortable position. I'm on your show just to tell my story, and this man called up, and he and the other truck drivers, and God love them, they're helping me, but I can't have them putting me up in one of these hotels they've got down there that have fans, and it smells like, I don't know if you know, they smell, it smells like they're cooking some kind of an animal that we don't eat here in America, and it smells that way in all the rooms, and I don't want to do that.
Well, you're specifying to this man the Four Seasons Hotel. It's an extremely expensive hotel.
When you say extremely expensive, you're talking about not going to cost him. He said a bunch of truckers was going to do it. My understanding.
All right, let's go remote to a phone call here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go remote to Carol, I guess, on the Phil Hendry Show. Carol, you're on with Don Parsley and Phil Hendry. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to say to the gentleman, I'd like to ask him, has he contacted his local branch of the American Red Cross?
Yeah, I did. I believe I did.
And so what did they say to you? What did they tell you?
They said they'd go ahead and they took down the names of my wife and my daughter, and they said they're going to, you know, try to do something. I don't know. We had a bad connection.
Your what do you mean you had a bad connection?
The phone.
Your local Red Cross told you that.
I don't know who it was. It was I think it was Red Cross, and the phone was not working well.
What did the Red Cross?
When I was talking to the Red Cross.
What did they tell you?
They said, "Yeah, you know, what are their names?" I said, "Here they are." And I said to them, "Well, don't you people do donations?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well," and I asked for a donation, and they said, "No." So, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, no, but what the lady is saying here is that the Red Cross can assist in locating your wife and your daughter. Do you understand?
Right, but why not just give me the money? See, it puts me in a bad position. It makes me...
I would like to ask him, ever been to Haiti before?
Have you ever been to Haiti before?
Yes.
No, I went to, we took a tour 1 year, and I think I went to Jamaica, but I don't know if we went to Haiti or not, to be honest with you.
Well, see, the American Red Cross is already there, and I'm quite sure
right.
Some church groups out of your state got to be already there. Have you located any of the minister alliances in your city? Because it's in every city, churches are down there.
The only problem, and this, again, this is delicate, but when you talk to church groups, they're
what?
They're a little, I guess the word is cheap, the way they go, you know, say, hey, well, we'll give you a blanket. I need a lot more than a blanket, you know.
I want to ask you this. Do you have a local church? Do you have a local church?
There's churches here, yeah. Yeah, we have churches, yes ma'am.
No, do you have a church? Do you go to church?
Do you have a church?
Yes, I do. I have a church.
What is your church?
My church is it's a gospel church. It's the Jesus Christ.
What is the name of the church that you go to, sir?
It's the Baptist church here.
In Phoenix?
Yes, sir.
It's a Baptist church.
Yeah.
And they won't raise you a donation? They help find your wife and daughter?
They said they'd give me a plane ticket, but it was coach. And I said, you know, I said, hello, I'm disabled. They're going to fly me down on some. And then they said they'd put me on a tour bus that I could go through the countryside. And I said, well, isn't that with the locals? They said, yeah. I said, I can't be on a bus with Haitians. And they got, you know, my understanding, they have chickens and everything.
Well, what is it that you want to do, Mr. Parsley? I mean, you want to go down there on business class.
You're making it sound like I'm...
Well, what your church said they would do something. He said all they want to do is give you a blanket and send you down there on coach.
Yeah. And all I want to do is go down there and look for my wife and daughter, but also be comfortable doing it.
Mr. Parsley.
I can't be in a toilet. Not a toilet.
Listen to me, Mr. Parsley. If your church is going to give you coach, if your church going to give you coach, a coach fare, take that money,
ma'am.
Add it up with someone else, and you end up in a business traveling position. On the plane.
There you go.
Every little bit helps, yeah.
See, but they won't give me the cash.
The truck driver call in was going to give you some money. Then the church give you some money. You'll be in a business seat on the plane and some extra money to spend.
If they'll give me cash, but if they book it themselves, then I'm stuck with what they book, see?
Well, you can explain
that you need the cash, okay?
You need the cash. Let everybody's cash add up and you'll get to Haiti.
Right. You don't work for that Acorn, do you? I'm joking, but no, you got great
ideas.
Do
I work for the who?
For the Acorn? I was just joking around,
can I ask it? No, there's no time to joke. You're missing a wife and a daughter, aren't you?
You're absolutely right, sir.
So there's not a time to joke.
You're the right, sir, yeah.
Your wife and daughter.
Do you have family that can donate money? Like most families have big organizations, family reunions.
I got a brother. Well, I got a brother, but no one's talking.
What about her family? What about her family?
They don't talk. They won't talk to me. So,
All right. Carol, thank you very much. You're very kind, and I appreciate your advice. And, Don, I think what she said is very smart.
Well, she's right if they'll give you cash. But these days, trying to get cash out of people, you know, they'll write you a check or they'll give you cash. Trying to get cash, and these days more and more people don't deal in cash. See? So,
And what do you mean her family doesn't talk to you?
They don't talk. What do you mean? They don't talk to me. Does your wife's family talk to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Yeah, they do. 877-876-PHIL. Although I'm... Here is Kyle. Kyle, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kyle in Chicago with Don Parsley. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
You understand hold on. Kyle, hold on for a minute. You understand what I mean when I say that these people are booking you tickets. I don't understand what your need is.
I don't have a need, Mr. Hendry. I came on your program to tell a story. And
yeah, but you need business class. You need the Four Seasons Hotel. You want cash.
I went to a church here, and they said, do you need canned goods? I said, well, how is a can of peas going to help me find my wife and daughter?
All right, go ahead, Kyle. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right, Phil. Phil, you know, I don't mean to point, you know, any fingers, and I mean no disrespect to Mr. Parsley, if that's his name. It just seems really suspicious to me. I would think that anyone who has really lost their, you know, their wife and their daughter in a tropical disaster that is, you know, that has happened over in Haiti, it just seems like they would be jumping at any little chance they had to go over there. But yet he's just, what's his name, Don? He's just demanding. Like everything that you know that you can get when you know if it weren't me. What's that?
I want it. What people are giving me. I just said I don't want to stay in a hotel where there's stains. And you don't know what it comes, you know what the stain's from on a bedspread.
Well, sir, really, is that a big deal when you're looking for your wife and your daughter?
You're looking for your wife and your daughter.
You want to stay in a? So you're fine with staying in a hotel where you could contract a disease? I'm not.
Well, first of all, I don't think that's going to happen, to be quite honest. And second of all, if you really love your wife and your daughter, I don't think you'd be making these excuses. To, you know, why
I don't know what you mean by the. What do you mean you don't think it's Haiti? And you know that Haiti has a disease.
This man's point is simply this, Don. People have offered you money. They've offered you, as the lady said, they've offered you a variety of different things. And what we're hearing you say, and Kyle, thanks so much for your phone call, is that it's not enough. It's not enough.
I didn't know. No, sir, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I said I could. The lady made a good idea. She had a good idea. I'll take the money and I'll add it together if I can get a business plan. But if I get enough money out of the truckers, then I can get a hotel room and look for my wife and son. But I have yet to...
What, your wife and who?
My wife and my daughter.
You said your wife and son.
No, I said my wife and daughter. I didn't mean... I said my wife and son. I didn't mean my son. My son is at home.
You said you have a daughter who is with your wife and a daughter at home.
I have a daughter at home and a son, yeah.
You didn't mention your son.
You asked me about a daughter, two daughters. I mentioned my daughter. My daughter's with me.
But you didn't say you also had a son at home.
No, I didn't. Because, and I hate to sound stupid, but you didn't ask me about a son.
Sir, how many children do you have?
I've got four.
You have four. How many are with your wife?
One. My son, my daughter... Mary, and you're confusing me, and it's not fair. I did not call up your program to get any money. I didn't call up your program to do anything other than just tell my story.
You got a daughter with your wife, and at home you have what?
At home I've got what? At home I've got nothing. I'm looking...
How many kids are at home?
Oh, I've got three kids.
Total?
Total.
You said you had four.
No, I have three at home. Total.
And then one total in Hawaii?
And no, one in See, you were trying to trick me?
Yes, I was, sir. Where is the other one?
The other one's in Hawaii, or in Haiti, I mean.
In Haiti?
Yeah.
And how many kids total do you have?
Mr. Hendry, I don't like being interrogated.
Well, you're the guy that's on here saying you want to tell your story. How many kids total do you have?
I've got four.
One, two, three, four.
I have.
877-876-PHIL. Mike in Boston. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, I can't believe you're spending more time with this guy. You know, first of all, for a guy that's all worried about where his children are or where his wife is, all I've heard him talk about is what his accommodations are going to be and how much his plane ticket's going to be, and he's got to stay at the Four Seasons. You know, if he is disabled as he says he is, assuming you get him down there, what does he think he's going to accomplish?
If I have the funding, I can look for my wife and daughter in a thorough way. But you can't do that if you're coming back to a hotel at night that's got stains.
Sir, I don't care. You know what? If my child and my wife was lost, if I had to sleep in a sleeping bag filled with dog crap, I would do it. And you're telling me that, first of all, you're looking for help to go down there. You're looking for somebody else to give you the handout to get there. And now you're trying to dictate the terms of how nice the hotel is and how much space you're going to have in your seat. For God's sake, my children, if they could stuff me into a suitcase and throw me underneath the belly of the plane, I'd still go.
Well, and okay, so where are you going to sleep when you get to Haiti?
See, you know what?
You
I would worry. My personal needs would be way far behind what my desire would be to find my wife and child. And you're talking your accommodations are going
to
be? Shame on you.
The point here, Don, is what, you want to find your wife and daughter, correct?
Yes, sir, with all of my heart.
So
well,
you've got to fly business class. You need
so far. All I've heard
because
about is
I
how good am I accommodations and how much leg room am I going to have?
I'm establishing. First of all, you have called up, and I'm talking to you, but I haven't heard you offer anything.
He's not going to offer any
damn thing, sir. You know what? You don't deserve it.
Why then are you wasting?
I haven't heard anything about how much, you know, the horrors that your daughter and your wife might be undertaking. All I've heard about is how good are your accommodations going to be.
No, I am very concerned with the well-being of my wife and daughter. I need a basic
operation.
Well,
that's the first I've heard of it so far. All I've heard about is how good your accommodations are going to be. Somebody was nice enough to pay for your freight to get your fanny down there to go look for him. You should be thankful for that.
Does it make you feel good yelling at a man who's lost a wife and daughter?
You know what? This is the first I hear about you crying for your wife and daughter. All I've heard about is how your accommodations are going to be and how you're going to get there.
I want to ask
now,
if you lost a wife.
If you're that disabled, sir, what are you going to do when you get to Haiti? Have you seen the television?
Yes, I
have. How are you going to get around in Haiti?
If I have the funding, I can rent a coach.
If you have the funding so you can stay at the Four Seasons and fly business class, why don't you ask him to get you a few drinks with an umbrella in it?
Sir, apparently you don't understand what it is to look for somebody that's under rubble.
Sir, all I've heard about for the
last half
hour is your accommodation.
I'm trying to tell you that the only way to look for people that you don't know whether they're living or dead or anything
is obviously from the Four Seasons by the pool with a drink with an umbrella.
Sir, I never said anything like that, but I did say
that I
need a hotel with a business.
I can't fly regular class. You know what? If somebody's nice enough to give you bus fare,
why
don't you take that?
What are you going to do with excuse me, you're going to take a bus to Haiti? You're a little
confused.
You know
what? I don't care if they throw you in an inner tube and drag you behind a boat. If it gets you there and it's the only means you have, you should take it and be thankful for that. Never mind talking about I need to fly business class and I should be at the Four Seasons.
No, but I do need a hotel that has internet connection and a business.
Yeah, God forget.
Why? Why do you need that?
So I can stay in touch with
your wife who's under a pile of rubble. How are you?
Thank you very much for
in a pile of
rubble. Thank you all right. Thanks a lot, Mike. 877-876-PHIL. Don Parsley, who has lost his wife and daughter in Haiti, and wants to go down there to, and find them, but he needs a business class ticket and accommodations at the Four Seasons to do it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia. In which case, you know, line them up, man. The shooting range open in Massachusetts.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The number of people that are there. I have on the line with me Mr. Don Parsley here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Parsley's in Phoenix, Arizona. He has not heard from his wife or daughter since last week, since before the Haitian earthquake. They were there. They were there to take a tour, I guess. You say, sir, of American government business because American government buildings, your daughter wants to work for the U.S. government in Haiti. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct. And on your program tonight, I've been... People have suspected me of lying.
I know that you're upset with us a little bit, sir. I understand that.
I'm very upset because I came on your show. I didn't ask for anything. And when people said they wanted to help me, I said, in what way? And they said, we'll get money for you. And I said, well, I can't stay at a motel. And then everyone started getting angry. And I don't want to live. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like one of them. And so my daughter, who wants to go into the U.S. government work next year when she graduates from high school.
You said your daughter was 10.
No, I did not say she was 10. She was 10 when she was 10.
No, you said you had a 10-year-old daughter in middle school. Now you're telling me next year she's graduating from high school. These are the problems that we're having.
I have never been on a radio program before, sir. I am nervous.
All right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
But I'm not the guy who's here on the radio asking for business fare to Haiti. 877-876-PHIL. Sharon in Indianapolis, go ahead. You're on the air here with Don Parsley. Go ahead, Sharon.
I think the gentleman is a good man, and I think he's trying to con everybody into getting money. Because no matter what anybody suggests...
No, ma'am, I'm not. I would never do that. I'm a Christian.
Don't claim you're a Christian and talk the way that you've been talking. Don't do that.
What did I say? What non-Christian thing did I do?
For one example, you have insisted that if people don't put you up in a 4-star, very expensive hotel, you'll commit suicide.
That's designed
to manipulate people, for one thing.
If you were in Haiti, wouldn't you want to stay at a Ritz-Carlton instead of a Super 8? Of course.
No, sir.
Wouldn't you?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Speaking personally, no. I think it sends a bad PR message.
If we would reduce all marginal tax rates in this country...
Allowing corporations to spend at will on elections, which is what the court has just allowed...
The most expensive car in the world dressed
Jews
up...
Jews are good with money,
and that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. And when I say world famous, I mean groundbreaking. When I say groundbreaking, I mean they ain't never heard, they ain't never done, they ain't never seen a radio show like this one before. This is a radio show that takes you through the looking glass of radio, news, events that are contemporaneous, and maybe even the way you look at those things. The Alice in Wonderland of Talk Radio, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. We have been on the line and will continue to be talking with Mr. Don Parsley of Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Parsley has not heard from, nor has he seen, a wife and daughter since they embarked upon a trip to Haiti. Now, these stories we're hearing more and more. And we've certainly heard the stories of Haitians who have lost fathers, mothers, children, relatives. This is a tragedy. It is spanning two countries, perhaps more. Here in the United States, we already know we have Americans missing down there. Mr. Parsley's been talking with us. We're going to get back to our conversation in just a moment. I would like to remind you that online at philhenryshow.com is where you go, where you can see live streaming video of our show right now. I'm looking right into the camera. You can take a look and see how we perform our radio show each and every night. You can also listen to downloads of our show. You can hear the live audio streaming, and you can listen to downloads the next day. And we have a site redesign going on right now, but if you go to our affiliate page, you'll see a list of all of our current affiliates across the country. Brand new affiliates in Greensboro, in Raleigh-Durham, in Dallas, and other great cities, and we're very grateful to have them. So head over to philhenryshow.com. So Mr. Parsley, Don Parsley on the line with us from, you're in Scottsdale, is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Now, you called us last hour, and we're grateful to have your call, sir. You have not heard from your wife or your daughter. You are on disability. Your wife is the only real breadwinner in the house, money earner in the house. And so without her earnings, you have a twofold problem. You cannot live, and you don't have a wife and daughter.
Yes, sir, that is correct, yeah. And I'm here with my other son, and I want to go find my wife.
And you've been in touch with the U.S. government. You've been in touch with the Red Cross. You've been in touch with the military.
Yes, sir. I've been in touch with all of them. And they've said, well, they're having a hard time sorting out where everything is. And I said, well, I'm going to go down. I'm going to look for my wife and daughter because I would look for my wife and my daughter. I'd go through the gates of hell.
I understand, sir.
And I didn't come on your program to ask for any charity. I didn't come on your program to ask for any help. I just came on your show to tell people that's what I'm going to do. And I wanted people to know where I was going in case something happened, you know. And that's when people called, and I appreciate their help.
Well, we offered you airfare for yourself and the return airfare for your wife and your daughter.
And I appreciate that, sir. But
when you wanted business class.
I wanted business class only because I have a difficult my back, and my I have a neck problem, too.
All right. And we also heard from a trucker who offered you money, along with other truckers out there tonight, to get accommodations once in Haiti. Now, you don't want to stay in a motel down there. You wanted a hotel.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned the Four Seasons.
Well, any hotel that has a business center and has in-room internet access, because if I'm going to be in touch with different international agencies and news media, I want to do this right. If I'm going to go look for my wife and my daughter, I mean, I'll go into hell. I'll go into the darkest parts of the jungle, you know, what into the jungle or wherever it is. I'll go anywhere, but I'm not asking anything. People are offering me, if you're going to offer me accommodations, I'm just saying I would rather it be at a Ritz-Carlton or at a, if you've seen this book, The Boutique Hotels of the World, and I'm not trying to...
The Boutique Hotels of the World, sir, that's like high-end hotels. You're not asking for something like that in Haiti, are you?
I don't know what they have in Haiti. I'm just telling you, I don't want to come back to a motel room that's got a toilet seat that needs to be wiped down. Well, I've been out all day looking under large slabs of tilt-up for my wife's body. And I don't mean to be angry, sir.
I understand. 877-876-PHIL. So that's where we are. And you're very good to be telling us the story.
See, that's the other thing. I'm telling you my story. I'm telling you. This is. I could be talking to CNN or Fox, but I'm telling you my story.
And I appreciate that very much. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Patricia in Indianapolis tonight. Patricia, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Don Parsley. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Parsley, my prayers go out to you and your family, but I just have to be honest and tell you, like a lot of the other listeners that are calling, something about your story is very suspicious. And if I'm wrong, then I'm sorry. But if my family members were missing, I wouldn't be concerned about how I was going to get there or where I was going to sleep, because, come on now, let's be for real. If you think your family members are buried under some rubble, how could you sleep anyway? You wouldn't be wouldn't be able to rest. And I'm concerned about you saying that you are suicidal. If you feel suicidal, then you probably need to get you some help and get you some.
Well, that's a point.
Get some.
That's a very good point, Patricia. Yeah.
Yeah, and
I said I would be suicidal if I had to stay in a hotel room where the toilet seat isn't wiped down. But if I was at a Ritz-Carlton, of course I wouldn't be suicidal.
But you know what? You people don't decide. Nope. I've worked in the mental health field for lots of years. People don't decide when they are not going to be suicidal. And if everything you're saying is true, you should be jumping at anything that anybody is, especially in this time when money is so hard to come by. These people are being so gracious to offer you so many things, and you're telling them how you want it done.
I would sleep in the middle of a cow pasture. I would sleep in the middle of a steer sty to find my wife and daughter.
And you know what? Then maybe you need to start.
I have a bad back.
I understand. I understand, and I sympathize with your bad back.
Concierge service.
Wait a minute. You need a concierge service for what?
So that I can get. What do you mean? So I can find out where a good restaurant is.
Well, if your wife and daughter are buried under rubble, and you need a concierge to find a good restaurant,
this lady is indicating she doesn't approve.
I don't have to approve. I'm just saying that years and years of working in mental health and in the hospital and dealing with people who have gone through horrible tragedies, they just don't have the attitudes like you have. Number one, how could you even be thinking about what you're going to eat? If you really think your family is buried under somewhere, come on. How are you going to? You want the best of everything.
If my wife and daughter are buried under rubble, don't you think I should have a decent buffet breakfast, some kind of a breakfast?
You know what? I think that you are really
making it really look
bad for people who really, really are concerned, and as that one man said, they would be dragged to Haiti in an inner tube.
Absolutely.
And they would sleep sad.
This is the scariest part for me, and if my wife, my daughter, my children, if I knew they were suffering, what kind of sleep are you going to get?
I wouldn't get any, but in the off chance that I could get sleep, I would be sleeping at a Four Seasons where I'm not smelling goat cooking in the next room.
And when you get tired, you can sleep anywhere.
If you're exhausted.
You can eat anything.
You don't get it.
I get it. Something about your story is just not right. And when Phil was firing them questions at you, you started to let your game crack. And you sound like a man that was on here about 2 months ago talking about he had a 10-year-old daughter who was going to be going to high school because she was so smart, and he was talking about how he had to go to the middle school and how he was humiliated because what all he had done to the earth and stuff. And I'm about 99% that you're the same person.
What are you talking about?
I am. And you know what? Like I said, you make it really bad.
I want to ask you a question, Mr. Parsley. How many kids have you got?
You did this already.
How many kids have you got?
I've got 3.
You told me you had 4.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No. The caller's agreeing with you, Mr. Henry, because that she wants you to like her. I have.
You know what? You are a travesty.
Do you think it's so funny that a man has lost his wife and daughter?
You know what?
No, sir, we don't. I want to know, how many kids do you have?
I have 4.
4. Now you have 4.
I've always had 4.
And which one is missing in Haiti?
This is very unfair, Mr. Henry.
Which one is missing in Haiti?
The girl.
The girl, your daughter?
Yes.
Which one?
Mary.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, talking here with Don Parsley, who has lost a wife and a daughter in Haiti, but will not go to Haiti unless he has business class accommodations. We've been trying to raise money for him and his efforts to get down to Haiti to find his wife and daughter, and you're certainly welcome to call us with your contributions. But I'm just telling you, I want this man to understand that what we provide for him may not necessarily be first ticket, you know, whatever it is, you know, on the green, man. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Don Parsley here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah! Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Coming up later in our program, we have Jack Armstrong, who is a liberal blogger and a liberal pollster for the Phil Hendry Show. He's also a contributor at times to the Huffington Post. 877-876-PHIL. We have with us Mr. Don Parsley, who has been talking with us about trying to find his wife and daughter in Haiti. While you, Mr. Parsley, have been very selective, sir, in the offers of charity from people.
I told you I didn't want charity, Mr. Hendry.
No, I know that, but people are offering you money, or they've offered you, and we've offered you plane tickets, and you want business class, you want a Four Seasons, you want a Ritz-Carlton, you want a private coach that would be chauffeured for you so you can go around looking for your wife, as you said, under pieces of tilt-up and drywall.
You know, what's happened on this program, sir, if I could just have a moment.
Go ahead.
The last lady said to me that she offered her prayers up to me. She offered her prayers to me, even as she wished I was burning in hell. That is hypocrisy.
No, she did not. She said she was praying for you, but found your story suspect.
She called me a liar, which is the same as saying she wishes I was being flayed alive by the devil.
No, you know, you're drama, sir.
Well, it's not drama, and the fact that she's offering up prayers to me, is she a Christian? Why is she praying to me?
You know what, Mr. Parsley, here's what I would say. She misspoke. That's number one. You're being really petty with the offers of help from people, and I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Forget about whether the lady misspoke and said she was praying to you. She meant she was praying to God. And the fact that people are, will you stay in a Super 8 in Haiti or will you not?
I don't want to be put on the spot.
Will you stay in a motel in Haiti to look for your daughter and to look for your wife, if it is your daughter and wife?
I said it was my daughter and I said it was my daughter and son, and it was, and I misspoke. I meant it was my daughter and my son, and I had misspoke then. It was my daughter and my wife.
And you misspoke. Okay, will you stay in a motel?
That is unfair of you.
Will you stay in a motel to find your wife and your daughter?
I am not prepared at this time. Well, you really like to have it both ways, don't you?
Hold on. Let's go to a phone call. Let's go to Robert in Boston. We're going remote here. Robert in Boston, who is Haitian, and you're on the air, sir, with Don Parsley. Go ahead.
Thank you, Phil. Don, how
yes,
are
sir.
You, sir?
I'm not doing very good, sir.
Yes, I am originally from Haiti, and I'm going to
yes,
tell
sir.
You something.
Then you know about
like
the motels
you,
there.
It's guy like you that makes helping Haiti very difficult. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're not even a very good con artist. Your story doesn't hold anything. If you were really...
Wait a minute.
Have you seen the pictures? I am originally from Haiti. There's no four season in Haiti. What?
I did not know that. I don't know.
Have you seen the picture?
I saw a pretty nice looking
mansion. I am very sorry.
That's the
for
president.
You.
That's the presidential palace.
Well, how did I didn't know what it was?
Oh well, but let me tell you. But if you are looking for your wife in your
church,
you are not going to think about Four Season Hotel. That you need a concierge. You need anything. For this moment, I am trying to go to Haiti. I cannot because there is no commercial flight. I spoke with American Airlines. There won't be any commercial flight probably by the end of the month. Okay? So you are not even a very good con artist.
No, you're right about that. But if you've got enough money, you can charter one.
No. You have people who do not even know you like I do not know you offered you everything they could. You refuse. You put conditions. I want to be at the Four Seasons. I want this. I want that. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're not even a very good artist.
Robert, you're from Haiti. Now,
I am from Haiti.
All right. You've stayed in the motels there. Do you want to stay?
No.
Are the motels
originally from Haiti. No. You don't know Haiti. You don't know Haiti.
I'm asking you, but my understanding is the motels there are not very well maintained.
But let me tell
That's my understanding.
Good or not, I'm asking you, have you seen the pictures?
Have you seen the pictures of the destruction that you have in it?
Now you're going to tell me...
Yes, I have, sir, but nobody said, here's a picture of the Four Seasons. It's been wiped out. I don't know if there's a Four Seasons.
As I'm speaking with you...
There is no Four Seasons there.
I lost a cousin. No. My house in Haiti has been destroyed. My parents are sleeping in the driveway. I'm trying to get to Haiti. I am not thinking about coach or whatever. Like that gentleman said earlier, if I could swim, I would.
Why are your parents sleeping in a driveway? Why are they sleeping in the garage?
Because the house is destroyed. My house is destroyed in Haiti.
What about
so
the,
don't
what
tell
about
me
the
that.
Garage?
Wait a minute.
You shame off yourself. You're not even a very good con artist. I think you should go to
a psychiatric hospital and ask for help. Oh, so I say that I want to go to Haiti, and if I get a good omelet breakfast in me in the morning,
if you're looking for your wife,
oh man,
if you're looking for your wife and your children,
this is not
what you're going to be looking for. The first opportunities that you would have, you will jump into that to go to your church, try to help you.
The reason why people are not buying what you're saying here, Don, is that you're saying you're looking for your wife and your daughter, but you need to have a good omelet breakfast in you first.
Are you telling me that you don't need physical strength?
Well, what has that got to do with staying at the Four Seasons or the Ritz?
They have they've got a breakfast buffet. Forget it.
Good God, man.
Let me tell you.
Here's a guy laughing. Look at him laughing. His parents are sleeping in the driveway, and he's laughing.
You need to go on medication, or you need to take your medication. I'm sorry, but you should be ashamed of yourself.
This is not communist Russia. This is not Russia where we put people.
Help for Haiti or any country is very difficult. Because
very difficult, exactly.
You're trying to extort money from people. Okay?
You haven't answered my question why your parents are not sleeping in the garage, why they're out on the driveway. Why are you doing that?
Because the garage has collapsed. The house is destroyed.
House collapsed.
Sir, thank you very much for your call, Robert. I appreciate it. There's a gentleman who is from Haiti. And I would say, Mr. Parsley, if anybody has credibility, there's a man who does.
And I believe him, but there were holes in his story. And there's something suspect about him.
Something suspect about him?
He said his parents were sleeping on a driveway. No. Right,
we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
No, there's something wrong with that guy.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Later on, we have Jack Armstrong on the latest in the John Edwards saga, which is just seedier and seedier. But right now we have Don Parsley from Phoenix, Arizona, specifically Scottsdale, Arizona, who has a wife and a daughter somewhere in Haiti. He doesn't know where they are. Has said that he wants to go look for them, but does not have the resources. His wife is the primary breadwinner. He himself is on disability, has limited income, has at least one child at home with him. And this what I'm repeating to the audience here is what I understand you to have said, Don, correct?
Yes, sir. That's the status.
And you want to go to Haiti, but you don't want to stay in anything other than a five-star hotel.
I didn't say a five-star.
You mentioned two hotels, the Ritz and the Four Seasons.
If they've got a business center, what I'm talking about here, maybe you don't understand what these hotels are.
Yes, I do, sir, very much so.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Vanderbilt, I didn't know. I'm just trying to...
Sir, we've gotten money for you for airfare, gotten money for you for accommodations. I don't need your sarcasm.
I'm just saying that if I'm looking for a wife and daughter and I am in store for the shock of my life finding them under equipment, I don't know what kind of equipment or the side of a building, I would rather have a breakfast in me. What am I going to eat?
That it doesn't make any sense, is what I'm saying. If you have a wife and a daughter that you're looking for, it doesn't matter if you're not eating at all, you're going to look for them. Let's go to a phone call. Deanna in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're on with Don Parsley. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you know how I feel.
I'm just telling you what a normal person would think. Deanna, go ahead.
Really? Like, why are you worrying about what hotel you're going to stay in? Like, are you in a wheelchair?
I'm on disability, yes, ma'am.
You're on disability. So what does that mean, you're
right.
on disability?
It means that I've got a tough time walking.
You have a tough time walking, but can you walk? Can you walk? Can you walk through your living room? Right? You can walk through your living room?
With difficulty.
With difficulty. So, like, if
right.
your wife and daughter were, like, dying on the other end of the living room, you can run to them, right? You can run to them, right?
Dying on the other end of the living room? What? I don't understand
what
that
means. Yeah, exactly. Are you kidding me? If they're under rubble in Haiti... Like, why
right.
are you worrying about how you're going to get there, where you're going to stay? If my husband and children were in Haiti, I wouldn't worry about what type of flight I'm getting
right.
over there, what type of bus I'm getting over there, what type of boat I'm getting over there. I'm getting over there. I'm not worried about where I'm staying, what I'm taking there, what I'm
going to eat. If you could go to Haiti, but if you were looking for your husband and you went to Haiti and a car met you from the hotel and took you, see how convenient that is? So
how convenient that is? Are you kidding me?
A car?
As I am, I would be running my butt off to wherever they were, and especially about, like, what restaurant I want to take them to. I'm bringing them a bottle of freaking water. Are you serious?
Ma'am,
a bottle of water. A bottle of water. A restaurant, a bottle of water.
If you're looking for your husband, now, you've had a breakfast of one cupcake, or you've had a breakfast of a good omelet with red potatoes. How easy is it going to be for you to lift rubble up?
Okay, if I got a commercial flight to Haiti, I'd be eating those peanuts like it was my life depended on it. I wouldn't be worrying about what I was eating in Haiti. I'd be worrying about finding my family. Do you get that? Do you know how ignorant you are? How ignorant you are, especially talking to somebody from Haiti acting like they don't know what they are talking about.
Right. When you said, Don, that man's parents were sleeping on a driveway, why weren't they sleeping in a garage?
I didn't know the garage had collapsed. He said the house.
That's how ignorant you are. That is how ignorant you are. Are you watching the news? Like, okay, if anybody
had a house
sleeping, I'm sure there would be 100 people in that 10x10 garage. Are you serious?
You haven't answered my question.
What is your question?
Is it easier for you to lift up concrete siding after having eaten a Twinkie? Or a full omelet with red potatoes?
That is a stupid question.
To lift up that rock. Are you serious? I would eat the nearest bug hanging off of a tree to lift up that rock. I would lift up that rock.
You won't be able to lift up a rock if you've been eating bugs. You would.
You're not going to be able to lift up a rock anyways if you're disabled
okay.
and your back is bad.
Yeah, exactly. And you're telling me that, in other words, what you're saying, Don, is the finding of your wife and daughter is contingent upon your accommodations.
No,
no, it's less important than what you're eating.
I would crawl through hell. I would crawl through hell for my wife and daughter. Crawl
if
through hell.
If you're crawling through hell, you're crawling through hell like
peanuts.
Hunger. Like, really hungry, waiting to see that omelet at the end. You're not worried about your wife
and I would say,
you're waiting to see that five-star hotel with that caviar and breakfast.
No,
and
no,
that
ma'am,
Hershey
but I'll tell you one thing
pillow.
That I would
Are
do that
serious?
Would be hell. I would eat the peanuts out of...
All right, we had to dump that, and I don't want to hear that kind of talk again.
Well, but the lady was saying about eating...
I heard what she said, and I don't want to hear you make a comment like that again.
Well, Mr. Henry, you're making me out to be the bad guy on this thing.
No, you're making yourself out to be the bad person. Nobody else is making you out to be a
bad
person. You're telling everybody else how bad of a person you are, how ignorant you are, how self-centered you are.
Yeah,
all you
care
about is yourself.
You really should
you
not
don't care about anybody
you,
else.
You remind me of
like
my
you
daughter.
You care about anybody else. I'm sure
you remind
you
me
of your
daughter.
What is her name again? Melissa, Amy, Mary, what is it?
No.
How many children do you have? Yeah, exactly. That wouldn't be a three-second
thought
for me.
Are you on Ritalin? You're on Ritalin, aren't you? Cause you're like,
am I on Ritalin? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was in bed before I heard you spoke, so I had to get up so I can give my 2 cents to you.
Okay.
Because you are completely ignorant.
You remind me of my daughter when she goes, person. And
oh, which daughter
called,
is this?
It makes me,
how many daughters
it
do you
makes
have?
Me, it makes
Can you
me
remember
less
that?
Desirous to find her.
How many daughters have you got?
What?
How many daughters do you have?
I have two.
Two more.
How many are missing?
My two daughters are missing. My wife
what?
And my daughter's missing. You know what? This lady that called in, she's a plant. You planted her, Mr. Henry, and she's... called in to remind me of the daughter that's missing so I won't want to go find my daughter because the way she talks is exactly like my daughter with the person.
You are completely ignorant. Why would
wow.
you do something like that?
Thank you very much for your call, Deanna. That. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Boy, oh boy.
I love my daughter, and of course I want to find her.
But you don't want to find her after having listened to this lady.
Because she talks like her. Person. It reminds me of when my daughter... You don't understand. Have you got daughters? Have you had kids?
Yes.
Okay, and you know what a teenage girl does? She turns into a Martian for 3 years. A teenage girl at the age of 14 becomes a creature from another planet and then turns back into a human being at the age of 18. But for 3 years, she's something that came from another planet. And my daughter, who's in Haiti right now, you know, I shouldn't be worried for my daughter. She's going to do fine. She's going to scare the Haitians. They're going to be walking around like that movie I saw the other night, the zombie movie with the big bugged-out eyes, when they see her.
You know, Mr. Parsley, I have to tell you, your story I'm not believing.
You committed to giving me...
Your story I'm not believing. The big bugged-out eyes, the zombie movie you saw the other night, and your daughter that's missing in Haiti, you're not worried about her. You feel sorry for the Haitians.
Yes, I do. I am worried for my daughter. But once they get a load of my daughter, they'll be walking around with... Oh, does that make me a racist?
What?
With the big bugged-out eyes that I said.
I'm going to go to another phone call, and then, sir, you're on your own. Let's go to Billy in Boston. Billy, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Don Parsley. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Parsley. I got to honestly tell you, I think you're a pathological liar. You can't keep your story straight. You can't. You don't know if you have three daughters, one daughter.
I have two daughters.
Okay, well, you don't even know how many daughters are missing. 1 minute there's one daughter missing, then the other minute there's two daughters missing. Get it straight.
I'm very nervous, sir, and I'm very traumatized.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we understand about you being nervous and traumatized. I've been writing down what you've been saying, Mr. Parsley, and it's been changing every 20 minutes.
I'm sorry, but I'm in an emotional state.
I can honestly say that, you know, I have three little ones at home, and if I thought that they were missing and my wife was with them, I wouldn't care how I got there. I wouldn't care if I could run there, I would run there. I wouldn't care if I was living on the scum of the earth. Just, you know, as long as I could get to my kids and my wife, how can you
your name,
like
your name is
four,
Billy,
like
right? Your name is Billy,
sir.
Right?
Yep.
Billy, if a boat was available and an airplane was available, which of those two would you take, the boat or the airplane? You take the airplane.
I'd want to get there as quick as possible.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
To be.
And so if the coach is available and first class is...
No. The guy said as quick as possible. What has first class got to do with it?
Because I'll have a good...
Coach and first class get there at the same exact time.
Yeah, but there's ground service in first class.
I don't know.
What are you guys... What is it about you guys... What about first class don't you guys get?
We get all about first class. We don't get you, man, and the fact that you got to have first class to go down to Haiti to find a daughter and a wife that you yourself have said could be buried under rubble, but you need a Ritz-Carlton buffet breakfast to get enough strength in you to go look for them.
As opposed to goat? Yeah.
What do you mean goat?
That's what they serve in those motels down there.
Well, what did
you
even,
don't know,
what
man.
Would it even matter? Who's even thinking about eating food right now? How would you even care, like, if you even ate again until you found them? That's like your life. That's all you have. What would it even matter?
Well, then does this make me a bad guy that I just heard my microwave go off because I have some Lipton soup in there? Does that make me not love my wife and daughter?
You throw these little comments. You sound like you're
man.
Joking. Like, do you really
man.
Think people believe
yeah, absolutely.
You?
I don't think there's anything funny about a wife and a
a daughter.
I 100% agree with you if it was true, but you're making yourself out to be a liar more and more. I can honestly tell you, I've never even called
right.
a radio show in my life till today because it really disturbs me that you have, you know, a natural disaster just occurred. So many people have died. And you're sitting there trying to raise money for yourself or who knows what.
Right.
You're trying to get rich off of a natural disaster.
Mr. Hendry said that he didn't believe me, and you were influenced by that. And so I will chalk that up to Mr. Hendry. It's your fault, sir, not the caller.
The caller made up his own mind based upon what he heard you say.
No, he didn't. He heard you say...
And I stick by what I said, and I agree with Billy. I don't believe your story at all. And I believe that you are lying, and I think that you are attempting to con people into a sense that they feel sorry for you. Billy, thank you so much for your phone call. And I think you're trying to make as much money as you can, and your jazz about the Ritz-Carlton and a good omelet and red potato breakfast from the Four Seasons before you lift up drywall to find your wife, if you think that people are going to buy that, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to, we're going to L.A. Canyon, and this is Justin. How you doing, Justin? You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry. I wanted to talk with you about the TV show Jersey Shore. We've been talking about it at our school. And
you want to talk about Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, we wanted to basically say that we're in agreement with MTV and the producer over there, Mr. Toffler, who said that, you know, Jersey Shore is really a show that is for, it's probably more a show for younger people than so-called Gen X people, you know, and we're, you know, in support of that, of that show, and we don't think it should be taken off the air, and we think that a lot of the controversy about it has more to do with the older, you know, generation.
Well, they call them older demographics.
Yeah, older demographics.
And much of the criticism of that show has been coming from older people, but from Italian Americans too.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, because we, you know, our generation has been exposed to kind of a sanitized version of television, and we know that, like, your generation was able to see probably shows that were more guess, not as politically correct, you know?
Okay.
And I don't know if you know, like, Amos and Andy or something.
Yeah, Amos and Andy. I mean, I'm old enough to remember that as a rerun. I never saw it. I don't know if... I think it was a syndicated show. There was Amos and Andy. There was... I don't know of any other shows. I suppose that there were sort of typical shows that were stereotypical to some degree.
Yeah, well, so... Jersey Shore is an opportunity for a lot of my generation to see that kind of television. And
well, you know, the criticism of Amos and Andy was that it was a negative stereotype, that it was sort of a... some people saw the characters in that show as buffoonish, clownish, and so they didn't like the show, you know.
But, you know, they got to make up their mind. I mean, the point that we're making is that we want to be able to see Jersey Shore and make up our mind. And if it's a show that, I mean, if you could say there's people that like to see Amos and Andy because it made them laugh, you know.
Well, do you like to watch Jersey Shore because it makes you laugh?
Well, yeah. I mean it's really funny, and we like to follow the characters, and, I mean, it's a show that I want to look at, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. When you watch Jersey Shore, do you say, hey, look at the funny-looking Italians?
Well, I mean...
I never consciously said to myself as a kid watching Amos and Andy, hey, look at these funny black people, but they were black, and they were funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what Jersey Shore is. You know, they're Italians, and they're just... They have a certain way, you know, of doing, of how they talk and the way they look at everything. Okay, and
so you like to watch Jersey Shore from the standpoint of it's a funny bunch of Italians to look at.
Yeah, and I really don't see what's wrong with that. You know,
well, I'll be honest with you, I don't either. I mean, I think we've lost. There was at one time in this country, and maybe it was informed by a little bit of hatred, and maybe that's what made it go away. But we did have the ability at one time to sort of look across the garden wall at each other and laugh at our customs and laugh at the different modes of dress or the different ways of speaking. And we're very sensitive to that now. But you feel? Do you feel that Jersey Shore, that the attempts to keep this show off the air, smack a little bit of that?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, do you think the attempts of keeping Jersey Shore off the air have to do with that political correctness?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, they don't. There's people saying, oh, you know, you can't laugh at a greaseball, or I mean, they don't want you to call them a greaseball or anything, you know.
Well, no, you don't want to. Using those kind of pejoratives maybe might be over the line a little bit, but they don't want you to laugh at their big noses or something.
Yeah, you're not allowed to laugh at how big their nose is, and you can't look, you know, at the grease in their hair and their like those Chico Junior boots they wear. And
what is a Chico Junior boot?
Well, they wear those pointed shoes. I call them Chico Juniors. I don't know, but and the wife beaters and everything. And you're not allowed to laugh at that. But it is funny, and it's made to be that way, you know. And
well, you know, when you talk about Amos and Andy, watching that show, I used to laugh at the slow way that they talked, and I used to laugh at...
Did you ever laugh at their thick lips?
No, man, I didn't laugh at their thick... I mean, I don't want to get into that, okay, because there's kind of a different... It was a different era, and it was an uglier era when I was growing up, and the racially charged image back then really hurt. And hurt in a very profound way.
Well, so, I mean, you're saying that it's okay, because I just want to get your take on it. Is it all right to do you feel it's better to laugh at, if I said, like, I'm laughing at some guineas, I want to go home and laugh at a guinea tonight.
Well, I would say to you, if you're going to say that, you might just say it to me. Don't say it in a crowded room. Don't holler it across the room, you know?
Yeah, well, because it's really funny that the Lops all have hairy backs, especially the chickens.
All right, see, that's what I mean. You don't want to... You're getting a little heavy into it now, you know what I mean?
Well,
in other words, you're saying it's funny that the, quote, wops all have hairy backs, especially the chicks, end quote. That's the kind of talk that begins to sound a little hateful.
No, sir, I don't hate them.
All right, but I mean, if you're amused by that...
Well, you said that you thought their big noses were funny.
No, I just asked you, what do you think is funny about them?
About
the Italians. You know, you're using these words that may be very offensive to some people, about Italian Americans.
Yeah, I mean, they're big noses, and like the Chico Juniors, and the women all have hair on their lip. And
the women all have hair on their lip. You know, I got to see this show, man, because if it looks the way you're describing it, I'll probably watch one episode, man, and lose my lunch, you know?
Yeah, well, it is funny, though, Mr. Henry.